I've asked the worship team to sing part of this song again. And I want you to not just sing it, but pay attention to the words here. Because there is power in the name of Jesus. One day this week, I was in here praying. And I've listened to this song a million times, not a million times, but a lot of times this week. And while I was praying, I was walking in, and every seat, whatever seat you're in, if you're in the booth, if you're upstairs, if you're downstairs, if you're up here, I prayed the name of Jesus. I spoke Jesus over your chair. I'm praying that Jesus speaks to you this morning. And let's just open our ears and hear what he has to say. Go ahead. There is power in the name of Jesus. There are problems in life, and there will always be problems in life. There are addictions. There are strongholds. There is fear and anxiety and depression. But there is healing in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We're people in need. We're people that hurt. We're people that are broken. We're people who are searching. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you came. You became one with us. You took on our sin and you took it to the cross and the grave, and you rose in victory to give us, to share with us that victory. Lord, help us hear from you today. As we speak your name, as we give you praise, as we just ask you to change our lives, open our eyes, Lord. Anyone here that doesn't know you, that isn't walking with you, Lord, Lord, I pray that you would speak to their hearts. I speak Jesus over them, Lord. Bring transformation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. You know, right from the start, I want you to know that I am what I'm not saying. I am not saying we don't need counselors. I am not saying we don't need doctors. I'm not saying we don't need medications. Some people have faced trauma in their lives. Some have faced things that I can't even begin to imagine. Sometimes we need someone to walk with us, to help us to get to the root of anxiety and depression. Some people have chemical imbalances, and medication helps. God has given doctors gifts in order to bring healing. He has given scientists insights in order to come up with medications that cure illnesses and balance what was imbalanced. In a world of addiction, we need one another to overcome. But in all these things, in physical, mental, emotional, spiritual deficiencies, we may need doctors and counselors and medication and sponsors, but we also need Jesus. None of those other things really work apart from Jesus. Over the next month or so, it's going to be difficult for a lot of people. This is a tough time of year for people. So some people are going to struggle because of the people they have to interact with. You got to show up for dinner, and guess what? There are some people you would rather not be around that are going to be there. Others are going to be at the table, and there's someone not there, whether it's because they live a distance away or they have passed away. It is a hard time of year. It's a time of celebration, but it's also a time of grief. Some, as you gather for Thanksgiving or Christmas or both, you gather around that group, and all of a sudden you revert back to who you were before. Maybe who you were as a kid. Maybe all those emotions come back. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus. Because, see, there is power in his name. Now, that does not mean, I wish it did, but it does not mean all the junk just goes away. But if we put our focus on Jesus, the fear, the anxiety, the depression, they fade, they take their rightful place underneath the cross of Jesus Christ. When we look at the giants around us, it's easily to get our mindset on being defeated. But if we, like David, can focus on the size of our God instead of the size of our problems, we realize we have the power through Jesus to overcome no matter what may come against us. Psalm 20 was recited probably as the king, beginning with David and then the future kings, as the king and his army were preparing for battle. As they are leaving the town, the first part was recited by the people. They would say, "May the Lord answer you when you were in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God." And then the priest would cry out, "May the Lord grant all your requests." And then the congregation, the people in the town would say these words of praise. "Now this I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Lord, give victory to the king. Answer us when we call." Now, notice in this psalm it says, "May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May we lift up our banners in the name of our God. We trust in the name of the Lord our God." There is power in the name of God. In the Old Testament, there's numerous names for God. Each one describes a characteristic of God. Yahweh is the name God gave to Moses. He says, I am that I am. I will be who I will be. Now, that name is YHWH. There's no vowels in it. So what ended up happening in the Latin, they took Adonai, which means Lord. They took the vowels from Adonai and stuck them into the YHWH and got Jehovah. So in your Latin Bibles, it says Jehovah instead of Yahweh. It's just a Latin translation of it. So you'll hear people talk about Jehovah. Some of the songs we sing, it's Jehovah. It's actually, that's Yahweh. I am who I am. So some of the other names we have is Yahweh Jireh. The Lord provides. That means so much. The Lord provides. Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who heals. Yahweh Shalom, the Lord is peace. When we speak the name of Jesus, his name encompasses all these other names as well. Jesus means the Lord saves. But as we talked about in Colossians, Jesus is fully God. He's fully Yahweh. He's also fully human. So the name of Jesus applies to all these other names. All these other names apply to Jesus and brings him close to us. Jesus became human and brought Yahweh to us. The God who heals, the God who is peace. There is power in the name of Jesus. In Acts chapter 3, it was the name of Jesus that Peter and John healed the paralytic at the gate beautiful. In Acts chapter 4:18, the religious leaders commanded Peter and John, do not speak anymore in the name of Jesus. These religious leaders didn't understand, but they knew there was power in this name. It was in the name of Jesus that demons came out of people. It was the name of Jesus that Paul tells us every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There is power in the name of Jesus. There's a pastor named Nicky Gumbel from England. He has a devotion, a Bible in a Year devotion on the Bible app. So you can listen to his devotion, then you can listen to Bible passages to go a psalm or a proverb, and then you have a New Testament and Old Testament. And I've been listening to that. I've been using that for several years. And the devotion part, he's got some really interesting stories. And he told this story that he was asked to visit a woman who was at the hospital. So he found out she was in her mid-30s. She had three children. She had another one on the way. Her partner had left her. Her third child, who had Down syndrome, was in the hospital. That's why she was there, because the boy had a hole in his heart and needed surgery. He had the surgery, and it didn't go well. Three times the staff asked her to allow them to remove the machines and allow the boy to die naturally, and she kept refusing. Finally, she said she wanted to try one last thing. She said, could you have someone come and pray for him? So someone contacted Nikki and asked if he would go, and he would pray, and he arrived, and the mother told Nikki, I don't believe in God, but look at my boy. He's swollen up, he's bruised, he's got tubes everywhere. The doctors say even if he recovers, he's severely brain damaged because he was without oxygen for such a long period of time. But can you pray for him? And Nikki prayed for that boy in the name of Jesus that he would be healed. He spoke Jesus over the boy. And then Nikki shared with this mother that she could give her heart to Jesus and follow him, and he would transform her life and give her hope and give her peace and give her what she's been looking for, including eternal life. And she prayed and accepted Jesus as her Savior. 2 days later, Nikki returned to the hospital, and this lady came running out to him. She says, you would not believe it. It's amazing. That night after you prayed, he turned the corner, and he's doing so much better now. Imagine that. 2 days later, he was released from the hospital. Amen. Nikki lost contact with her. 6 months later, he's at another hospital going up in the elevator. There she is with the little boy. And she says, You're not going to believe this. Not only is he healed from that heart surgery, his hearing was very bad beforehand, and now his hearing's so much better than what it was. It got a bonus healing in it. And Nikki became this lady's pastor. He ended up doing funerals for some of her family members. And each time he'd do a funeral, people would come up to him and say, We know. When you prayed in the name of Jesus over that boy, God healed him. We know God did something in this woman's life. She's completely different. The partner who had left her came back and they got married. She is a completely different person. And she went around telling all her friends and relatives and neighbors and said, I didn't believe, but I believe now. The little boy's uncle and aunt showed up at Nikki's church. Unlike most churches, you know, the front row is usually empty. This church is great. People actually sit in the front row. But they went right up front. They didn't know any better. Front row seats, all right. They sat right in the front row. And Jesus got hold of them and transformed their lives. They accepted Jesus and began to follow him. And they said they did so because they had seen God's power, not only in the healing of the boy, but in the transformation of this woman's life, in the name of Jesus. You know, we've been going through for a little while the book of Colossians, Paul's letter to the church in Colossae. Paul actually wrote four of his letters that we know of. Four of them he wrote from prison: Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. This morning we're going to look at just a few verses from Philippians, another one of his letters from prison. You know, Philippi is the place where Paul had been in prison. Now he's writing to them from another prison. But Philippi, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. You know, he was in prison, he and Silas, and they began to worship. And as they worshiped, the ground shook and the doors came open, the shackles fell off. Philippi wasn't a Christian-friendly place. It was a Roman city. Caesar is Lord. They worshiped the Roman gods, the Greek gods, the local idols. If you were a follower of Jesus, you didn't quite fit in. They were suspicious of you. It was difficult to do business if you were a follower of Jesus. People didn't want to hang out with you. You refused to worship our gods? The gods of the nation? The gods of the empire? Yeah, you lose friends, you lose acceptance, you lose business. You may lose more. You may even lose your life. People didn't trust you. They looked at you a little suspicious. See, Christians were countercultural. See, it was a different culture than we live in, but there was a lot of similarities as well. Earlier in his letter to the Philippians, Paul reminded them, by outward appearance, he had it all together. He had climbed the corporate religious ladder only to discover that it was leaning against the wrong building. And he came to regard all these things as loss. They were all taking him in the wrong direction. And he talks about this in Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 7 and on. But he says, he has suffered the loss of all things, but all those things he considers rubbish. Now, it's more accurately translated dung, crap. All right, so all the things the world promises he has lost, but he says it was just crap anyway. And in losing all the crap, he has found true righteousness, which comes only through faith in Christ. He has found the peace and the contentment that had eluded him before, that he had searched for as the Pharisee of Pharisees, Hebrew of Hebrews, all those things. And then Paul comes to chapter 4, verse 4 of Philippians. Now, as we read this, remember, Paul is sitting in jail, chained to a Roman guard. The Philippians are living in a culture that persecutes them. And Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Now, rejoice, joy, and glad are used 16 times in 4 chapters of Philippians. Paul, sitting in jail, writing to a persecuted church, reminding them, keep your eyes on Jesus. Remember the big picture. Don't get caught up in the day in, day out junk. Jesus is more than all that. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understandings, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I was listening to a podcast just a couple weeks ago, and they said that most of our children and young adults are suffering from some degree of PTSD as a result of all the chaos that occurred during COVID. That entire fiasco really showed us how unstable most of the things that we depend on really are. And I don't care what side of the issue you're on or all those other things. What we know for sure is the government lied and hid truths. Businesses shut down, altered operations. Schools went digital, and our children's education suffered. People worked from home. Then they were told to continue to work from home. Then they were told you have to come into the office once they learn how to work from home. Store shelves were emptied. Supply chains were broken and still haven't been fixed. And the chaos has continued. Chaos has become the norm. If you don't believe me, just go on social media or watch the news. If there isn't chaos going on, just wait. They're going to stir it up. There's going to be chaos any minute now. Because, see, facts don't really matter. Emotions drive people. Emotion outweighs facts. Common sense is anything but common. Emotions move people. Emotions get votes. Emotions give power. In the midst of the chaos, Paul writes, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Now, the way Paul writes this is not a suggestion. It's not try this out. It's a command. Do this. Rejoice in the Lord. Not sometimes. Not when you feel like it. Not when things are good. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then, just to amplify it, he repeats it. Again, I say, rejoice. Give God praise always. See, joy is something that dwells in the hearts of the followers of Jesus. Happiness comes and goes, but joy is deeper. We have a joy in the midst of chaos. We can have joy in the midst of persecution. Now, it doesn't mean we like it. But we can live in all that chaos, and if we hang on to Jesus, we can have joy and we can have stability in the midst of all of that. It kind of, in John 15, he talks about abiding in him. Well, that joy, we're abiding in that joy. That's what we're attached to. That's what we're living in. The storms may be going crazy around us, but we've got that joy in Christ. Rejoice in the Lord always. And actually, when we rejoice, it can begin to change our emotions. It will change our attitude. It will change our perspective. Friday, I was headed to where I deer hunt, just check everything out, get everything ready. Come through Cambridge. The other side of Cambridge, they're doing some construction on the road. I look so I can get in the left-hand lane, there was enough room for me to get over. I put my blinker on, fool in the left-hand lane. Did I just say that? Zoomed up. I mean, they accelerated right up next to me, so I couldn't get over. So I had to slow down, back off, then get over and went. And first thing, Mama, I was ticked off. And then, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be. I wanted to give her a look anyway. Rejoice. I'm serious. This just came to. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. So I slow over. I get in the left-hand lane, go. And then she's just putting along in the left-hand lane. I had to get in the right-hand lane to go by her. I didn't even look at her. I rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Maybe. When we're on social media and we see some of that, we just need to stop. Rejoice in the Lord always. This week, when you're sitting at the table, Thanksgiving, and crazy Uncle Joe and Aunt Mabel there, you can fill in the names. You know who they are. and they just know how to push your buttons. They just know how to say the things that drive you crazy. You don't have to say it out loud. Maybe it's just, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. That word that's translated gentleness is that, but more. It's calmness in the midst of chaos. It's caring for others. And look, I think the best description, it's the character of Jesus. When we lay down our right to retaliate, when we imitate Jesus, who had all power and authority, when a Roman guard smacks him across the face, turn the other cheek. Who remained gentle, going to the cross and while hanging on the cross. When we imitate Jesus, even when we face opposition and suffering and chaos, our lives, even without words, speak Jesus. Our gentleness reveals the work of Jesus in us. Let Jesus in you be evident to all. See, that's what drew those family members of the boy who was healed and his mother. That's what drew the family members to Jesus, because they saw Jesus in this woman. They saw Jesus heal this boy. And they said, we want that. They were looking for what Jesus did in their lives. What if we, sitting at the table, crazy Uncle Joe and Aunt Mabel, when our natural self, our old self, wants to jump up and say something we may regret later, or maybe we won't. but what if instead of saying that, we just turn it to praise? Rejoice in the Lord always. I speak Jesus over, I'm not saying jump up at the table. I speak Jesus over you, Uncle Joe. No, not like that. But what if we just turn our hearts, instead of the chaos that wants to come into our hearts in those times, if we just turn our hearts over to Jesus. If we let go of trying to control the situation, if we let go of trying to get in the last word, if we just decide to scroll past that stupid social media post instead of thinking we have to say something, just trust Jesus, take care of it. And in the second part of Philippians 4:5, Paul writes, the Lord is near. The question we have to ask ourselves is, do we really believe that? Do we believe that the Lord is near? Do we believe that we can trust Jesus with Uncle Joe and all the other chaos in our lives? If Jesus is who he says he is, if we really believe he is our Savior, that he conquered sin and death, why do we allow people to diminish the Jesus in us and with us? If we look to Jesus, if we look to the scope of eternity, and we look at the things that we allow to impact our lives, those things are really minuscule. Why in the world do we allow that junk to mess up our relationship with Jesus? See, Paul tells us how to approach the chaos, how to approach Thanksgiving and Christmas. Rejoice. Praise God. Let the gentleness of Christ shine through you for others to see. And then he reminds us, do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You know, anxiety or worry is really reverse meditation. It's backwards prayer. We're called to meditate on God's word, to lift up words of prayer and praise. But instead, we get into anxiety. We focus on the situation instead of on God. If you know how to worry, you know how to meditate on God's word. It's just a change of focus. It's the same thing. Instead of focusing on the problem, focus on Jesus and his word. Give it to the one who is near, the one whose name has power to do something about it. It's out of our control anyway. Just hand it over to him. Instead of allowing to weigh you down, lift it up in prayer and petition with thanksgiving. In every situation, he says. Not in some. It's not sometimes. It's not when things get so bad or when you're about to lose it. In every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. That's rejoicing in itself. That's thanking God. Jesus, thank you even for putting these obstacles in my life. They'll just make me stronger. They'll draw me closer to you. See, if we put praise, we put thanksgiving in the middle of all the chaos, when we recognize who is really in control, when we recognize the name that carries power, and we put our trust in him instead of our problems, if we give him our problems, say, hey, take it. I'm not going to focus on it anymore. I give it to you. It changes everything. So Paul gives us instructions on how to face every day. Rejoice in the Lord always. Always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. In the face of external opposition, in the face of internal strife, Paul calls the Philippians, rejoice. Live lives of gentleness. Trust God in your prayer life. And then he tells us the result. The change is a focus on Jesus, and we have the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, that will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Paul is speaking these words from experience. He's sitting in a Roman prison with the possibility of a death sentence hanging over his head, and he's writing to a persecuted, suffering church. Rejoicing is defiance in the face of chaos. If you want to be a real rebel, when all the chaos is going on around you, don't get pulled into it. Instead, rejoice in the Lord. See, the devil is the author of chaos. He wants to bring chaos in our lives. We rebel against that by trusting in Jesus, and he gives us that peace that transcends all understanding. I choose to draw near to the one who is near. I choose to lift up prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Oh, you can shoot me down. You can smear my name. You can put me in prison. You can do whatever you want. But in the name of Jesus, there is healing. There is power. There is light. Paul could proclaim as we can proclaim, hey, you can throw me in prison if you want, but you can't take my freedom. See, that is the peace of God that people yearn for. That's the desire that's implanted in our hearts. We look for it in all the wrong places, using all the wrong means. Power doesn't give it. Control misses the mark. Wealth leaves us always wanting a little bit more. Look around. People are striving for peace. And many of them, they just don't know where to find it, though it is right in front of us. The Prince of Peace is near, just waiting for us to receive him and the peace he brings. The peace of God. In the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, it's shalom. It's peace even when the circumstances seem anything but peaceful. It's a peace that makes no sense. It's peace in a prison chained to a Roman guard. It is peace that enables Paul to write, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." You want to kill me? Go ahead. I get to go see Jesus. Oh, you're going to let me live? I'm going to keep preaching Jesus. What do you do with somebody like that? He had that peace that transcends all understanding. That's the peace that is offered to us. That's peace in the midst of persecution, because our eyes are on Jesus, who is always near, not on the circumstances that come and go. It is peace when we have plenty. It is peace when we're in want. It is peace in life. It is peace in death. It is peace when all seems well. It is peace when chaos is about to overtake us. Rejoice in the Lord always. Recognizing that God, what God has done and what God wants to do. Recognize who God is and that he is with us. And we can give him our anxiety. And we can rest in his presence. Paul prescribes a remedy for worry. Prayer. Worry is eliminated. Not because the problems aren't so bad after all. But because God is greater than our problems. Rejoice in the Lord. Praise shifts our mindset from problems to God's promises. It changes the environment from chaos and anxiety and worry and hopelessness to standing in or bowing in the presence of God, who has power over all these things. He will break every stronghold, as we sang. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for your hope. Thank you that you defeat all the chaos that's around us. Lord, this week, many of us are going to gather at Thanksgiving tables. We're going to gather with family. We're going to gather with friends. And when people get together, chaos seems to happen. Lord, I pray that you would be around each table. Lord, I pray that you would give us peace in the midst of the chaos. Lord, those who are grieving because there's people not at the table with them, whether it's because they're not nearby or because they have passed on, Lord, I pray that you would give them your peace, that you would remind them that you are near. Lord God, I pray that those who have a crazy Uncle Joe and Aunt Mabel, Lord, I pray that you would give them peace in the midst of that. Lord, I pray that our gentleness, our Christ-likeness, that people would recognize that and be drawn to you. Lord, over these next couple months, we're going to have a lot of opportunity to engage with people that we might not see all the time. May they see you in us. Lord, bring change. I speak Jesus over each person here this morning. Jesus, break the strongholds. Jesus, break people of anxiety and depression. Jesus, break people of addictions. Jesus, have a day in our lives that others see you through us and are amazed at what you have done. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's just stand and sing this together one more time. just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
Didn't announce it earlier, we're going to go speak Jesus in Jamaica in January, the 19th through the 25th. If you're interested in going with us, it's going to be a preliminary mission trip. It's going to be $1,400. We're going to go down there and help out and get things ready for when the next week. If you're interested in that, there's a sign-up sheet in the back. Please sign up. I'll get in touch with you, give you more information. We'll talk about it. But this week, go out and just speak Jesus wherever you go. Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness. Just go preach, speak Jesus in your words and in your actions, and watch what he does. God bless you. Have a great week.